I want to study with you the Word of God this morning from Matthew chapter number 13. I read in your hearing verses 10 through 17, and that's on page 1361, 1361 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, I think that it will be obvious to you immediately that the majority of the passage that I previously read to you are the words of Jesus. And so what we're looking at today, we're going to focus our attention on the 17th verse. And these are the words of our dear Savior. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." That's a tremendous statement to my heart. And as the Lord began to impress that on my mind and heart, it has blessed me tremendously. And for that reason, I've entitled my sermon this morning, "How Blessed We Are." In a day of COVID, in a day and time of danger, in perilous times through which we pass, many are sick, some are dying, and fear takes hold of the hearts of many. And yet, how blessed we are. And if we've ever needed a passage like this, I think we need it in this day and time when so much is going on around us that disturbs our hearts and mind. Let me read that verse again. Jesus said that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye have heard, and have not heard them. So may God bless His word to our heart. Would you join me in a word of further prayer? Our dear God and our loving and gracious Father which art in heaven, we come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because we come in the name above all names, the name of thy beloved and only begotten Son. And Lord, we rejoice in His wonderful name. Thank you, Father, for sending Him into the world to die for us and save us. And thank you today for faith and hope in Him. And thank you for your holy word that reminds us of how blessed we really are. Help us, Father, today to understand your word. Help us to see what a great blessing it is to understand these truths Jesus has set before us. Unlock them and open them to the minds and the hearts of each and every one of your children who've gathered here today. Lord, give me strength to be able to preach your word, the power of your Holy Spirit, for your glory, the glory of Christ Jesus, for the comfort, the edification, the encouragement, and the blessing of the hearts of your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look back up in the preceding verses, Jesus has been talking with people in that day and time in parables. And the disciples didn't really understand why He did that. I want to tell you today, there's a lot we don't understand that God does. A lot we don't understand that God says. But just as it was then, so it is today. God is still God. And God is still on His throne today. And He still has all power today. And while they did not understand the words of Jesus, and oftentimes we do not understand the Word of God, It behooves us to hear it carefully, lovingly, and patiently for His glory and our good. Jesus went rather in depth, and I'm not going to get into all of that today. You're aware of the passage. It's rather self-explanatory. And I encourage you in the days ahead that you read the explanation of Jesus as to why He spake to the people in parables and not to His disciples in that way. Now, there's great meaning in all of that. But it comes down to this observation, verse 16. Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Have you ever thought about that blessing? What a great blessing it is that we can see and that we can hear. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 12, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." And what Solomon is reminding us of is the fact that God, as Creator, designed the ears and designed the eyes, and we can hear all these levels of sound, and we can pick up on direction through our hearing, and our eyes can see those we love and care for and all the beauty of the world round about us. And God made it all. And so what a wonderful blessing, and how blessed we are. If all we had was physical eyesight and physical hearing, if that's all we had, and for some people that is all they have. They are not saved, they are not born again, they do not have the Spirit of God in them, they do not understand the Word of God, they do not believe in God, they have physical eyesight and physical hearing, and they are blessed of God in that way, but they do not have it in the spiritual context. And you and I, who have been born again, of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know when He came into your life. I can't be sure I know when He came into mine. But I do recall vividly an experience of His presence when I was young. And that makes me to think it might have been about that time in my young life. Spirit of God came and dwelt in my heart, and I was born again and began to be more aware of God and of God's teachings. So we who have been born again, we not only see with our natural sight, we see with spiritual vision as well. We not only hear with our natural ears, we hear with spiritual hearing as well. And that's what Jesus meant in this 16th verse. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. You don't just see the beauty of this arrangement of flowers in front of us, but you see into the depths of God's Word, and you see what God is telling us because you have that spiritual sight. And you don't just hear the preaching of the Word of God. You don't just hear the words, the audible sounds, but you hear with your heart and your mind, and it touches you, and it means something, and it blesses us. What a blessing. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And then He says, and this is what I really want us to ponder today, that many prophets and righteous men have desired, listen to that now, have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Think about that, brothers and sisters. There are many, many, many more than we can number. Only God knows the number of them that have lived and walked on this earth, and wondered about things that God wrote of in His Word, but were never blessed to see the fullness of it. And that's what he's talking about here. Many prophets and righteous men. Let me talk to you a little bit about that. There are prophets. Their prophecies are recorded in the Old Testament. Men view them as approximately, and best we can tell and discern and decipher with our minds, there were about 16 of those prophets in the Old Testament, generally regarded as prophets by men. The first of them being the prophet Isaiah, and the last of them being the prophet Malachi. And so there is that prophetic segment of the Old Testament that concludes it. There's all the history up front there, and Israel and the things that God ordained among them, and the law and all of that. But that latter part of the Old Testament, there were prophets of God who wrote prophecies from God to man. Now, sometimes those prophecies were of impending judgment. Sometimes those prophecies looked beyond the judgment to better times again. Sometimes those prophecies looked forward to the day of Jesus. Now let me give you some illustrations of what I'm talking about. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Now, Isaiah wrote those words. They were inspired words. And he wrote them prophetically of the coming of Jesus. But Isaiah never saw in them the fullness of that which was manifest in the person of Jesus. We're also told in Isaiah 9 verse number 6, I believe it is, yes, that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, how we love to talk about him as the Prince of Peace, all those wonderful names. Isaiah, inspired of God, prophesied of this Prince of Peace who was to come. But Isaiah never saw the peace that Jesus brought when he came. See? And not only that, we have in Jeremiah 23, and he's another one of those considered major prophets of the Old Testament. In his days Israel shall be saved, and Judah shall dwell in safety, and this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Why did we need the Lord to be our righteousness? Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 64:6, we're all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthiness. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. That is to say, all of our sins have taken us away from God and His sweet and wonderful fellowship. We are all sinners and unclean before God. But Jeremiah says there's coming one who is going to bring to us righteousness. And yet, Jeremiah never got to see the righteousness of Jesus. Peter said the prophecy came in old time, not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God came upon Isaiah, came upon Jeremiah, revealed to them a little glimpse of what the Messiah, Savior as we call Him, as He would come into the world to save us. Little glimpses, like a little tiny crack or peephole that they could peep through and say, well, we know this about Him and we know that about Him. But oh, there's so much more we wish we knew about him. We know he's going to be born of a virgin. You know, we'll be called Emmanuel. We know he's wonderful, that he's Counselor of the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We know that about him. We know that he's our righteousness, but we haven't seen the full picture. We haven't understood it all. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. Notice there's another category here of people who've had that shallow understanding. They're called righteous men. You know, as I began to study and try to understand, I remembered that there were three men mentioned in the book of Ezekiel chapter 14, in verse 14 and verse 20. And he talked about Noah, and he talked about Daniel, and he talked about Job. And he used it in that order, those three men. They're the only people he mentions out of all the people of the Old Testament. I don't think that means that they're the only ones that were righteous in the sense that God is talking about, because, you know, we have no righteousness. It's got to be the Lord's righteousness that makes us saved and have hope. But these three men were men that God called righteous. And what he basically said in a nutshell is that they could be delivered in their righteousness, but they could not deliver anyone else, not even their beloved children. Three great men of God. Noah, man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6:8. A man that was spared the great flood, the worldwide flood. I know there are people in the world who don't believe that. But let me flip the coin. I know there are people in the world who do believe that, because we believe the Bible, and God tells us it happened. And when it happened, the flesh on the earth died, with the exception of Noah and his wife, their three sons and their wives. A total of eight people, according to the book of Hebrews, were saved in that flood. Now, why did God do that? God created man and put him on the earth, and man became the seed from which all humanity grew. But they were dying in the great flood. And so God spared eight souls that would repopulate the earth. God wasn't going to recreate, but he left them surviving the flood to create population upon the earth again. Noah was a great man. He believed in God when all the world around him said, "You're a fool." When men scorned and laughed at him for building that ark, which later they probably cried and begged to get into. But he was true to God. What about Daniel? Daniel was a great man of God. He's cast into the den of lions rather than give up his communication with God through prayer. Conniving men of politics and power. And they're still on the earth today. Don't you forget that. They have always been out there, it seems. Planning, conniving, trying to direct things the way they want them to go for their own purpose and profit. They go to the king. They know they can't make the law. He'll have to. But they ask him to make a law. "You're so great. You're the greatest ruler on the earth. You ought to make a law that no one for designated length of time can ask of anything, of anyone but you." I tell you, it patted him on the back. It fluffed up his pride, his human spirit, and he liked it. And he agreed with it. But Daniel was a man who every day knelt by an open window and prayed to the Most High God, and they knew if he kept doing it, they could get rid of Daniel. They just knew they could do it. They planned it that way. And Daniel, true to God, would not stop his praying to God. He still went to his window. He still knelt and prayed to his God, and they felt like he would, and they caught him doing it, and they carried him. And true to the law, he was thrown into a den of lions, hungry lions. God sent an angel in there to stop their mouths where they couldn't eat him. God spared Daniel's life. Daniel was committed to God. He would pray to God if it cost him his life. He's one of those three. Job, what about Job? Oh, he was a great man too. We know more about him than maybe the others. But Job was a man that suffered a lot, lost all of his children, lost all of his possessions, lost his health, lost everything but his life and his wife. And she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die, be done with it?" But he wouldn't. He was true to God. His so-called, quote, friends came, cast all manner of things in his face, but he's still true to God. Job would not relinquish his faith. And we come to 42nd chapter, the last chapter of the book of Job, verse 12, that the Lord gave him twice as much back as he had as when he started out. So God was good to him, but Job was one of those great men. So you think about it, great as they were, Noah never saw about Jesus. Daniel never saw about Jesus. He never saw what he did. And Job never saw about Jesus. And yet, here we are, living about 2,000 years past the time he came and lived and walked on this earth and died on the old rugged cross for your sins and mine and the sins of all of God's elect throughout time and the world. There he was on the cross. The only begotten Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived without any sin and died for your sins and mine. Think of that. That's what all this is about. They were in the Old Testament looking forward. They never saw all this. No way for them to see. History had not yet been unfolded for them to see. Here we are on the other side, 2,000 years, looking back. And we read in the Bible. We didn't see it with our eyes, literally, but we see it with our hearts. We believe it. We hear the word of God, and it is true. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And though we didn't see him with our natural eyes on the cross, though we did not hear him speak the words that he spoke on the cross, by faith we look back, and our eyes by faith see, and our ears by faith hear the word of the Lord, and we believe what many prophets and righteous men would have given anything to have known that when the Messiah came, what he would do. Here we are, looking back through Holy Scriptures, believing God's inspired word. By faith, our eyes of our heart see Jesus on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, between two thieves. We hear his words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And speaking thus, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, gave up life and died for you and me. How blessed we are. Do you see what I'm talking about today? How blessed we are. We have it right here in the Bible. They didn't have it. They wish they had had it. They would have loved to have had it, I'm sure, in my heart. They didn't have it. But many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things we see. They have not seen them, but we have. To hear the things which we have heard. They have not heard them, but we have. I want you to hear a passage. And it's such a blessing to my heart. And I lifted it to share with you today. Ephesians chapter number 1. And I'll just read a few selected verses in the interest of time. Blessed be, the verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him, the Father chose us in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, and He's Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. How blessed we are. Those words, they speak so vividly of what God our Father in Christ our Lord has done for us. And we look back into the Word of God and we see Jesus, our Savior. But you know, there's something yet to come. There's even more to come that we haven't yet seen, except through Scripture. Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I have received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. See, Paul is reminding us so that in our mind's eye and in our hearts, we can be aware that Jesus died for us according to the Scriptures. They took Him and buried Him in a borrowed tomb according to the Scriptures. The third day He rose to live again according to the Scriptures. All of this is given for our hearts to rejoice in Jesus, what He has done for us. But you know, there are even greater things. In some way of speaking, they're greater. And that is that the day is going to come. We know that Jesus is coming again. When He ascended to heaven, the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why gaze ye up into the heavens? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come again in like manners you've seen Him go." And then we said, "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. What a day that will be. When Jesus comes again, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised first, changed to become no longer corruptible but incorruptible, no longer mortal but immortal, because the dead are raised at that time when He comes again, and we shall be changed. What does that mean? We're going to be like the resurrected dead. We're going to be immortal. We're going to become incorruptible. We're going to have an eternal body that can dwell in heaven, world without end. What glorious prospects. How blessed we are to know and believe those divine truths. But you know what? They're all dependent upon Jesus, not dependent on you and me. They're not something we're going to prepare ourselves for. We can't possibly do it. But those prophets and those who looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, They knew he was coming, but they didn't see all that's recorded in the New Testament about him. We look back, how blessed we are to see Jesus living on the earth, walking the perfect life without sin, reaching out and helping so many burdened, sick, and hurting souls, doing for others what they could not do for themselves, and even raising the dead, all to remind us that as he went to the cross, he would do the impossible again. He'd lay down his life for us, shed his blood for you and me, and save us by his wonderful grace. And if our eyes can see it today, if our ears can hear and understand it today, no matter of all the horrible things going around us in the world, we can say how blessed I am. And my eyes can see, and my ears can hear, and I can know the reality of God Almighty, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior. Now, if we're blessed to be able to see and hear all of that and understand it, let's live for the Lord who did all of that for us. I mean, if he hadn't changed us, if he hadn't quickened us from death and sin to life in Jesus, if he hadn't born us again through the Holy Spirit, if he hadn't inspired the Holy Word of God and preserved it against the devil and all men who would have tried to destroy it, if God hadn't preserved it, to have now today to read and be blessed by it, oh my, we can't imagine how different our lives would be. Blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. You've seen and heard things that prophets and righteous men wish they could have heard and seen, but could not. And yet we do. We have. Because we are blessed of God to live in this glorious gospel dispensation of grace and have his inspired word to read, study, and live by for his glory and the glory of Jesus. And every day that ought to be our desired endeavor, that he who did so much for me, let me do all I can while I live for his praise and his glory. And the Lord help us to do that, is my simple prayer. And amen.